Gavin Williams, he may end up being a Guardians legend by the time it's all said and done, at least after yesterday. But somehow, some way, let me ask you, maybe you agree. Did you have a problem with the handling of Gavin Williams' outing trying to get a no-hitter?
Zero.
Let's go around problems. The room real quick. Did you?
Oh.
Hey, man, I just got to ask the question to make sure, right? Don't kill me.
No, I like when special things could maybe happen. We try to do those special things. Yeah.
In fact, I would go so far as to say that it bought that manager even more credibility in that locker room, in that clubhouse.
Ooh, I like that thought.
It was a throwback move, and Vogt was not a slave to the numbers. He didn't have a GM texting him, hey, you've hit the threshold. He needs to be removed from the game. Like, this is going to jeopardize the next five starts. Like, I love the fact that Vogt was like, no, it's going for the no-hitter. He's never going to have another shot at this, or maybe never has another shot at this.
Totally agree. We all agree with each other. Do you know who doesn't agree with us? Jonathan Peterlin.
Do you like that Steven Vogt's like, oh, I just completely avoided him?
It's such a baseball old school way of thinking that we just kind of need to get corrected. If you're Arias, maybe don't talk to the pitcher, because that's how superstitious baseball players are, and that's how this isn't until the end of time. But like, wouldn't you want to check in on Gavin Williams and be like, hey, how's your arm feel? Even so you can get the assurance that he's going to lie to you and tell you that it's great. At least then 10 years from now, if he's signing no-hitter baseballs, but his arm, you know, had two Tommy John surgeries and never recovered, he can't be like, yeah, nobody checked in on me and I was obviously in a lot of pain and wearing.
I think we went a little bit overboard there, did we? I think we went a little bit far.
I mean, I was stunned when I tuned in, because I was jazzed up. I felt like Owen. Like, Owen's been telling us the whole time they're going to the playoffs. Like, what are you worried about? And I tuned in yesterday thinking we had a near no-hitter. Gavin Williams might have asserted himself as the ace of this rotation, at least today, could be a moving target. Who knows? But it's a good problem to have.
Well, and it's one of those things where it was like, you knew the Mets were one of the better teams left on their schedule, right?
Look at the lineup.
And so they got they won the first one they might not have should have had, you know? That was whatever we wanted to call that, right? Won the second one, won the series. So we're good with that, right? And you're going, everything's free after this because they've won the series. And then to go for the sweep and the fashion that they're in.
So you got to understand, guys, to get me in the middle of the day to tune in to hear post-game Guardians reaction.
I'm not going to tell them about the timing of their shows and things like that. I'm going to pick them apart over that. The opinion.
No, it has nothing to do with that, but to get me that pumped up, that's what the Guardians have done. Best record in the American League since the All-Star break. I'm looking at their schedule. They have the least amount of 500 teams in Major League Baseball. They've got 22 or 23rd strength of schedule the rest of the way. They have crawled their way back, scratched and crawled their way back into the playoff picture. And I'm pumped. I'm thinking we are throwing a parade. And I tune in and I hear second guessing of the manager. I was just shocked.
Here is Steven Vogt. Too old school for Jonathan Peterlin.
One of the things, you look at the velo. The velo was still there. The stuff was crisp. I didn't dare ask him how he was feeling. I didn't talk to Carl or Albie the whole game. It was one of those things with a four-run lead like that, you got to let him go. You don't know how many chances these pitchers ever going to have to do it. So he was going to get to go the whole way.
God, I love that.
He did mention velo. What more do you want out of the guy?
I love that. And you know who loved it even more? Ooh. Every player in that clubhouse absolutely loved that their manager was chasing history just like all of them wanted him to.
Well, Jonathan, and it seems that Nick as well, but Jonathan did provide examples of why Steven Vogt did not handle this correctly.
There is an approach in baseball in recent years that has definitely shifted and changed. And I do think a lot of this was sparked by Johan Santana going out there at 134 pitches. You remember Ross Stripling? Very first MLB game ever, okay? Dave Roberts, after seven innings of no-hit ball, was like, Ross Stripling, you're not going out there anymore. Like, you're done. We had a pitch count for you. I don't care if it's one of the coolest things that could potentially happen in baseball history. A rookie with a no-hitter in his very first outing, we're not letting you do it. Like, and so it's like it's shifted and it's changed. They have pitch counts on these guys. They know what they can and can't go to. And when you enter the inning at 111, when the most he's ever thrown in an inning, Nick, was 109, he's going to be locked in for potentially 15 to 20 more pitches. Like, there's a risk there. And it seemed like Vogt really didn't care about that risk. So,
I mean, guys end up getting surgery anyway. You end up getting Tommy John's anyway. And I mean, you're mentioning Ross Stripling. How many times has that name been said since that moment? with Dave Roberts.
We talk about Stripling all the time. Stripling's law, yeah, Stripling rule.
Constantly, yeah. Constantly. One of the all-time greats. What do you think Ross Stripling would rather be known as? Now, Ross Stripling's had a nice long career, so he's made a lot of money in Major League Baseball, so maybe that's part of it. But, man, you get into the seventh inning, you get pulled because of pitch count. Derek, I don't know Ross Stripling for anything.
There's a couple things not talked about in that, too. First, it was April 8th, so we weren't deep into a season where we've been stretching out,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, true.
It was his first game in the big leagues, okay? So he's not a guy that's had a lot of time to go through throwing, you know, bigger pitch counts and things like that.
Yes.
The other thing, it was a 2-1 ball game. He gives up a hit, right, and they pull him.
Uh-huh.
He ends up giving up the earned run. They lost that game. This was a 4-0 game in the ninth. That was a 2-run game in the seventh. When Dave Roberts decided, like, hey, we're going to make this change. If it's 2-0 still in the seventh yesterday, and you've got runners on base now, and you've given up the no-hitter, he's probably getting pulled yesterday at that point. We weren't in that situation. He didn't have base runners at that point.
He does say it's 4-0.
With a closer game, yeah. Right? It's 4-0 there.
Vogt does say it's 4-0. Now, I can meet you halfway on the not getting the bullpen ready. However, it's not like they're volunteer firemen and they have to drive through the streets with their sirens on. Like, you can get them ready and get them going, and it was okay. I guess I can meet you halfway on not having Gaddis ready to start the inning. Fine. But when it comes to all the other stuff, I'm like, man, what's the point of doing that? What can we stop finding different ways? We've made the regular season better. Let's stop finding different ways to make the regular season worse. Because doing that type of thinking has made the regular season worse. I mean, at the end of it, some guys will hate it. I'm sure baseball guys really hate what I'm about to say. It's still an entertainment. It's still an entertainment. And you're still going for something historic. We talk about David Cone all the time. We talk about David Wells all the time. We will not stop regaling you with the story of Len Barker and so many other guys who have had either perfect games or no-hitters throughout the history of baseball. Gavin Williams, you wouldn't want him to be a part of that because he was at 109. Well, if he gets to 110, 111, 112, I know we're in a chase, but you have to allow grown entertainers to that level entertain and do everything there. Maybe the venue had something to do with it. Maybe Mets fans would boo. I don't know. Mets fans seem to be more upset with Juan Soto pimping the home run and them not getting any hits up until then than anything with that. So I thought it was a great approach by Stephen Vogt. I think it's a Vogt win. I think you got to play emotionally here with this team, especially because your organization, your ownership has pulled away instead of added to. Yeah, you got to get them going.